Hey, welcome. You're listening to My Teeth Need Attention. It's been a little while since my last episode. Been working on a couple interviews and finally get my ass in gear with this one. What you're hearing real quick in the background here is unrelated to the interview, but it's something I've been listening to a bunch lately. It's the new Parashi CD. It's kind of it's a double CD split release. I don't know how to describe that. Double CD. One CD is by Parashi, one's by Rambutan. Some Albany folks, friends of ours. And this is on the, I think it's on the DIHD label, run by the Human Adult Band folks. So anyway, today's episode is Holt Bodish from Mordecai. We got together a little while ago and had a good interview. We kind of talk about the weather being really cold, although, you know, it's spring now, but it's snowing outside my window on April 16th. So screw you, Rochester. But anyway, yeah, it was recorded just a little while ago. We talked about Holt's upbringing and how him and his brother started playing music and stuff like that, how Mordecai started, where they're at now, what their plans are, stuff like that. So we're going to get into it. I want to thank Holt for giving me the time and doing the interview with me. We hadn't met before that. I met his brother at a show that he played in here in Rochester with Miranda and the Spatulas. And I saw, you know, last summer, I saw Mordecai and Spatulas play together in Philly. We talked about that a little bit in the podcast, but I don't think I talked to those guys at that show. But anyway, let's get to it. I'm going to play one or two tracks of Mordecai, and then we're going to get into the interview, and then we're going to play some tracks after that, and some of which are going to be some tracks that Holt shared with me from his high school days. So we'll get to that, and I'll let you know what I play. I'll back announce everything soon. All right, here we go. Let's get into some Mordecai.
Pleasures of your mind.
I want to welcome Holt Bodish to My Teeth Need Attention. Hopefully I said your name correctly.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And Holt is out in Champaign, Urbana, right? That area?
Yeah.
Where did you grow up? Was it somewhere in the Midwest? I always thought of you guys as, like, for some reason, Montana comes to mind.
Yeah, we grew up in Montana.
Oh, it is. Oh, brother. Okay. Yeah.
In Butte, Montana.
Butte. Yeah, nice. That's kind of a college town, sort of?
It's not. It does have a college. It has a mining engineering college.
Oh, okay.
But it's like a boom town, mining town from the 20th century.
Yeah. Small?
It's small now. Famously used to be a kind of like the bustling city in Montana, but again, in like the 1900s, it has the largest open pit mine in North America. So
wow.
A lot of, maybe like it's like a, one of the largest Superfund sites, you know?
Yeah.
So like a lot of toxic pollution from a lot of extractive mining.
What were they mining there? Silver?
Copper.
Copper. Okay. Yeah, I grew up in Northeast PA, so coal country.
Right, totally.
Yeah, it was actually a Jeopardy question the other day. They said something about anthracite coal, and I'm like, that's Scranton.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Anthracite's both... like the hardest coal, and yeah.
Nice. Both
oh, yeah.
Our parents are from Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah,
Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area, and then Allentown area.
Yeah, I talked to your brother, actually, about that. I forgot about that. Yeah, somehow.
Nice. The Northeast PA pizza.
Yeah.
Cheap pizza.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of pizzas there. I grew up loving New York style pizza because we had a lot of great New York style pizza joints, but then we also had really great Sicilian joints and then other weird things that were very unique to each little, like my neighborhood had a pizza joint that had pizza that no one else in the city had.
Totally.
It's real nostalgic to me, but it was probably crappy. But
totally.
We ate it, you know, that was a go-to, and it was, you know, a couple blocks down the street and stuff like that. But so wait, yeah, your what, grandparents grew up in that area? Is that where they?
Yeah, like my grandfather came over from Poland to New York with his dad, my great grandfather, and then there he was a coal. My great grandfather was a coal miner in that area.
I say, yeah, so the mining thing, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Wow. What year, do you know what year that was that they came over? Early 1900s?
No, maybe like more like 1940, 1950.
Yeah, you're younger than
1949.
Me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandparents came over. My mom's parents came over when they were each like 6 and 8 or something like that. You know, not together. They didn't know each other yet. And
totally.
My grandfather was a coal miner. So he started working the mine when he was like 6 or 7 when he got here, you know, feeding mules and stuff, and then became a breaker boy. And then, yeah, did that, died of black lung, but he was, you know, 80 something. So
right.
he lasted quite a long time,
yeah.
You know, with
yeah.
Living that crazy life. But so, yeah. So what, your grandparents then went out to Butte to kind of follow?
That was my parents. Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
then my parents ended up going west to Oregon first to, like, they were kind of 80s deadheads. So we're following the dad out there and just wanted to get out of the valley, or the Scranton Valley.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else. And we kind of only moved to Montana by accident. My dad is an artist, so he ended up getting a job there after he did his MFA in Missoula. Kind of after we were born, he went back to school and then
so
had a
just
job
a coincidence that you started out in a
yeah,
mining town and ended in a mining town.
totally.
Yeah.
We're attracted to them. Now we look back on it and we're like, oh, I like Butte. It's cool there.
Yeah, I took a art class years after my undergrad. I went to undergrad for computer science, and then I took an art class, I don't know, back in 2001, I think. And the professor ended up moving to, I think, Missoula. She just moved back like a couple of years ago, but she loved it out there. Yeah, she really dug it. Yeah.
That's where Mordecai kind of met, although we sort of met through mutual friends in Butte, but Elijah, Gavin, and I were all at in school in Missoula
Okay.
undergrad at the same time.
Yeah. Is that the first band that you guys played in? Did you have a band before that or?
That was like maybe me and Elijah's first band after he went to college. So I must have been, I was like freshman, sophomore in high school when we started it.
Oh, so
But
he's older.
during that time,
Elijah's older?
he's like 3 years older than me.
Oh, okay. And so,
So
yeah, so
he,
you started that when what? You were in high school, you said?
yeah, I kind of want to say it was like my freshman or sophomore year in high school, which would have been like Elijah's first or second year in college. And at the but at that time, we had a couple of good friends in Butte who also I would play music with. And so one of my high school friends and I, we had a band called the American Goldboros, because we were all poor and liked to chain smoke. And you could, our friend would take the butts of our cigarettes and sort of roll them up into a zombie Frankenstein cigarette. So it had all the different brands of tobacco in it, you know. And those guys like were really awesome because we had space to play and we would play like almost every day after school. I would go up there and jam with these two kids.
That's awesome. And you were in high school when you were doing this.
I was in high school,
Yeah. Wow. It's awesome.
totally. And
Yeah.
then
Sorry.
around that same time when Elijah would visit, we would start playing, we would like play music together, and that's sort of where Mordecai started.
Gotcha. Where did Elijah go to college? Not in Missoula, or he did?
In Missoula, but I was living in Butte, so it's like
Oh,
you know,
gotcha. Yeah.
120 miles away or whatever. So I would see him only occasionally.
Yeah.
Neither of us drove at the time, so like there was no way to visit each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I remember, I grew up in Scranton, came to Rochester for school, almost about 180 miles away, it's about 3.5 hour drive. But I remember me that's when I started playing music and I met a friend of mine and man, we just played every day, It was
Yeah,
during a summer
totally.
where we were both just working, we were working jobs on campus. I guess I was taking, no, I wasn't taking classes either. So we were just working. So we had so much time on our hands. Yeah, at night. So every night we just jammed. And that's how I learned to play.
Yeah,
Just
totally.
nonstop. And we were just obsessed with it too. Like
Yeah.
all you thought about during the day, you were working. We were texting, now texting. We were emailing each other back and forth. There was no texting at that point. And
Totally.
yeah, we were just obsessing over it. So yeah, geez, what year is this at now at that point? You guys are young, so it's not
I'm young, yeah.
that
So,
long ago.
no, 2008, 2000, probably 2008, 2009.
Yeah. And what was the first Mordecai release? Was it something like, did you guys put out your own stuff?
We did a couple of self-released CDs, like limited edition CDR runs that we just burned on the computer and sent to people. And then the first official release would have been like our friend Brian Ramirez, who was in the band X Cocaine, has that label Killer Tree Records. So we sent him some demos and he ended up putting those out on an LP
Gotcha.
into that. That must have come out in 2010.
What kind of stuff, what kind of music were you listening to kind of up to that point? I guess when did you get it? Like, when did you start listening to music? Do you remember? I mean, your parents, sounds like your parents
From
weren't,
like
so they were
My
probably,
parents are into music or
yeah.
whatever. So I listened to The Dead and Neil Young and Dylan a lot when I was in kind of like early high school. That's sort of like where I learned to play the guitar and sing at the same time, was like learning Dylan covers around
Oh,
that
okay.
time.
You didn't rebel against your parents'
Middle
music?
school, early high school. Well, at a certain point I did, but
Yeah.
then, you know, I was kind of young enough to be like, well, and now it's like, oh, I gotta love Dylan, but.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you come back around, right? Yeah, my parents never listened to really music. Like, we really never had music playing. Back then, every house had the big console stereos. I don't know if you've ever seen these things. They look like
Yeah,
furniture, You would think it's just furniture if you didn't know any better. You know, the speaker's
Yeah.
built in and you flip up the top and there's a record player in there. Everyone had
Yeah.
those. Like every one of my friends had them. Nobody's worked, right? Like the styluses
Right.
broke or something broke or the speakers broke and no one ever got them fixed because none of our parents
Yeah.
cared about music. Because so my parents are like a generation older than yours. So it was, you know,
Yeah.
pre-hippies. You know, they started having, my sister was born in 60. You know, my parents were boomers basically, right?
Yeah.
And then my dad, you know, my dad was in like Korean War, so that gives you a sense of like how old he was. He was 20 and
Yeah, totally.
50 something, right? So yeah, that was never like, he had 8 tracks in his truck of, he was really into old country, so I would listen to that stuff, but like didn't, you know, wasn't into it. You know, I was more into really bad local radio. You can imagine Scranton radio is very insular, you know, mainstream. You know, we had the rock
Right.
station playing Zeppelin and
Definitely.
Rush and
Yeah.
stuff, you know, and we had the pop station playing, you know, Whitney Houston and, you know, whatever, Def Leppard, something like that. And wasn't exposed to anything remotely weird. There was no really good college radio or that you can get. So you were you exposed to like college radio and like underground music around that, like in middle school and high
Oh,
school?
around that time, luckily, because I wasn't really on internet forum. I wasn't on terminal boredom and in contact with people, and but like Elijah was around that time because he was starting college, and so he that together with my, like MySpace music really connected us with a lot of underground music
Yeah, I bet.
from that time. Yeah. When we started, it's kind of like a just a smattering of all kinds of stuff. Like I, as a high schooler, you know, I remember hearing like Animal Collective in Butte and being like, well, this is kind of cool. Like I liked this kind of stuff. And then I also heard like, was it, you know, some Dead Sea tracks. Those were really inspiring. Also, around that time when I was starting to play music with Elijah, we got a hold of Trout Mask Replica.
There you go.
You see, we sort of had found a copy of Lester Bangs' Psychotic Reactions book, and so we're turned on to like the Velvet Underground and Captain Beefheart and Lou Reed and Stooges and stuff through that. So I must have heard all those around the time,
Yeah.
like when I was starting to play music freshman, sophomore in high school.
So all those things are kind of smooshing together in your head when you start writing stuff in Mordecai and just jamming things out.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. When I saw you guys play last summer down in Philly, you know, and I have a, I don't know, I probably had 3 year records at least at that point, or maybe four. Seeing you live and that whole night actually at that show, you know, Spatulas played and Max's band,
Yeah.
oh
Overt
yeah,
hospitality.
over, the whole night felt, for some reason it felt v like old New Zealand. Like I envisioned myself
Right.
in a club in New Zealand with, you know, 20 people. There was more than probably that in that room, but
Totally.
and it's not like any of you guys like are aping any particular band in mind, but it's, you know, it makes sense though, because like I'm reading this the Peter Jeffries book right now and hearing about, I'm obsessed with New Zealand music, right? And always trying to figure out like where the hell
Definitely.
did all these bands come from, right? And I, you
Yeah.
know, New Zealand, the Velvet Underground's like an obvious sort of pick, and their story
Totally.
about, you know, that kind of kicking things off there, but then they also talk about other American music. You know, Beefheart, I think, is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and songwriters and stuff from the US and stuff like that. So
Yeah.
it's like the same stuff they were probably listening to is what the is the stuff that you were listening to when you were a kid,
Right.
just, you know, a couple decades later.
Yeah, somehow that Beefheart stuff still sounds like so amazing to me. I And I can like, you sort of feel the inspiration for just how guitar driven a lot of the songs are, and how out in the open and kind of like naked, a lot of the solos are. Feels really awkward and kind of playful.
Yeah, my buddy John turned me on. I still don't really listen to that much Beefheart. When I listen to it, I like it. It's not something I've collected a lot of. I got the Grow Fins, box set when they came out and stuff like that. That was kind of a big thing to get on John Fahey's
Yeah,
label.
totally.
And then I came across a video of them playing on some TV show. It's some like national show. I don't know if it was a US show or a UK show. And it's this video, and they're just the bass player and the guitar player, and they switch instruments somehow in the song when they're off camera, and they're walking back and forth, just kind of trudging along back and forth in front of the camera, and
Nice.
Beefheart's is wailing away vocally and stuff like that. And I used that video as a so I was working on a project, and it was about uploading videos, right? And I kept using it as my test. So I've watched that video like
Nice.
a hundred times.
Hopefully.
And my client probably has seen it multiple times too, and going, "Who the hell is Captain Beefheart?" Because they're probably, outside the know. But yeah, that's, I mean,
That's awesome.
it's pretty cool. Like you were listening to that kind of stuff at a young age. I was late to the mix. So I started getting into like underground music late in high school. But then in college, like when I remember the first time I listened to Dead Sea, USA Kills just came out. My buddy had
Nice, yeah.
somehow got a copy on CD, and I listened to it. I was kind of blew me away. And that,
Totally.
and that's like a pop record for them, quote pop record.
Yeah, that was the one that got me into them too in high school. That, because it is so melodic in places.
But then also total abstract.
Yeah.
Experimentation, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one, I guess Swell Maps, Trip to Marineville. I heard that around the same time, and similar kind of home recording. But like that was maybe more home recording inspiration, but also similar playful songwriting and composition. All
That's
like
another band my
songs
buddy
that are all
Ron.
over the map, you know?
Yeah, just
Yeah.
recently my buddy was like, there was a reissue that came. There's been a couple of reissues of their stuff, and that book came out, I think, last year or so.
Right.
That's
Yeah.
a band that
Jowhead's
was
book is
off my
good. Yeah.
radar. So yeah,
Right.
I bought a record last year. I haven't listened to it nearly enough, but it's interesting you bring that up because a handful of Dust release just came out, and Bruce wrote the liner notes for it. Bruce Russell and Peter
Oh,
Stapleton.
yeah.
Peter Stapleton played drums on these recordings, and he didn't play drums on all those recordings. It's usually a duo. But Bruce wrote kind of a in memoriam for Peter because,
Yeah.
died a couple of years ago. And he name checks Swell Maps and the Velvet Underground, in the sense of the drumming and where the drumming sat into that and the sense of like urgency that the drumming has
Yeah, right.
and, it's not like,
Totally.
even though you listen to like Velvet Underground and Moe's just kind of hanging out, but man, it's such an important thing of those songs, the
Yeah,
way
right.
they hit
Urgency is a good word.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like the idea of the way she played, the kit she played in particular forces you to play a certain way. So I play drums, and it's like when you sit down at a full kit, you are going to fall into full kit playing, right? Bass drum,
Definitely, yeah.
foot pe pedal, you know what I mean? It's really hard, and
Yeah,
I try to do
absolutely.
this. I try to like force myself to not do the standard stuff because of the format. But what, yeah,
Yeah.
so who, like, you and your brother are always playing guitar and or bass, right, in Mordecai?
Yeah, well, bass. Elijah plays bass 90% of the time, and I'll play guitar. And then also Gavin plays guitar on songs when we're recording, and
And
I'll play bass on recordings and stuff too. But when we're live, we're the three piece with Elijah on bass, me on guitar, and Gavin on drums.
yeah, and Gavin's been it's been the same lineup the entire time.
For the most part, we sort of started with a different drummer, like a high school friend of Elijah, who just happened to be kind of interested in playing for a bit. But lost interest, or we all It's just hard to sort of get on the same page or
Yeah,
whatever
yeah.
happened. And then,
Where I know Elijah's out in Boston now, right? Living in the area. And where's Gavin now?
he lives in Taiwan, actually.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, he's kind of f pretty far away.
So wait, that he played though, right? Last summer, that Philly show I saw you, and you did a handful of
Yeah,
shows right around that time.
totally. He flew in to hang out and play a few shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
Yeah.
quite a yeah, that's quite a spaced out group of players you got.
It's
What
hard. I haven't played music like the way I did in high school in actually quite a while. Like where you just have a group of people that you can really jam with every day
Yeah.
or every week for like Mordecai did that when we first got together in Missoula, because we all lived there for a year-ish together. And that's sort of where we bonded. You know, we got really tight playing together every week, having a lot of fun jamming. But it's been a long time since I've been able to do that.
I mean, on our standpoint, it's like, people start having families and houses and full-time jobs, and like you it's almost impossible to keep doing that. I have friends like
Yeah.
the Nod. I don't know if you saw Nod ever. They're a local
I
band.
haven't, yeah.
They're great, and they're those dudes. So the three of those guys, they're all a few years older than me, and we share a practice space together. They're religious. Every week they practice. It's like
Right.
always.
Yeah.
And my bands
Right.
we're much more loose about that.
Right.
That last record that you put out on Petty Bunko, like how did you record that? Was that stuff? Did you share files? Did you get together? Were there recordings when you guys were together and played or?
Yeah, just from getting together, like so Elijah and I did live in Eugene together just recently for the last like maybe 2 years ago. We lived there together for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
We were both going to graduate school there. And so I think the first year I moved there, Gavin visited and we recorded four songs and kind of sat on them for 2 years. And then throughout the next 2 years, Elijah and Gavin visited me and we would lay down tracks on the four track. And then I would have them play a bass part or hit a pan or shake a shaker, whatever.
Were you
So.
do you primarily write the songs and then everyone just kind of jams on them or?
It kind of depends. Like Gavin, will come with a riff
Okay.
and we'll write parts to that, or we'll write a lead riff sometimes, you know, or kind of like some decoration guitar playing. So
Is that how you guys met Miranda?
it's pretty collaborative.
Yeah. Did you meet Miranda and the
Yeah.
Spatulas when you were out in Eugene or?
Yeah, that's how Elijah and her met,
Okay.
and then I met them her through Elijah.
Yeah, 'cause she was in Port was she in Portland or?
She's from Eugene, so
Oh,
she
she's not.
was
Oh, okay.
living in Eugene at the time, yeah, and then has gone back and forth to Portland because they're kind of close. But she like grew up there in Eugene.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I guess when Elijah and I were living there, and kind of like the idea of Miranda was kind of like wanting to play music and start her band, and we were all jamming together, the three of us, almost every week for a little while. And that's how the first incarnation of the Spatula sort of took shape.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 'cause last summer Gavin played and Elijah played in the band. Did you play in the band too? No.
Not last summer. 2 years ago, I
Other
played
times you
guitar
did?
on there. And sort of started as me, Elijah, and Miranda, and then those guys moved and Miranda had all these great songs, so she wanted to record. She
Yeah, there's another
should find
woman.
better musicians than us to record them too, so.
I'm trying to think. There's another woman. Nowhere. She goes by Nowhere Flowers, maybe. That was.
Yeah, right. Lila.
Lila. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, she was playing in that group on that
Yeah.
tour,
Yeah. I
guitar.
bought a cassette from her, and then yeah, she just has a new record out as well. Under.
Yeah, that stuff is great.
Yeah, I loved
Yeah,
it.
I love that
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What where, yeah, how'd you hook up with the like Richie Charles down in Philly and stuff?
That's like a terminal boredom from internet kind of connection, as well as, our friend Steve Hatzke. I don't know, have you ever talked with him?
No, I don't think so.
He's a Montana guy, but he spent sort of some of his earlier years in Ohio. So has connections with the Ron House, Mike Rep kind of
Oh, gotcha.
Ohio crew. And was also a big kind of influence and inspiration for us, because he sort of found our MySpace band page, and was because we were from Montana and he lives in Havre, Montana. As a he's an English he was an English professor at the college there. Like really has supported and shared our music from the beginning with a bunch of different people. Like Rich K from Loki Tapes
Oh, okay,
and Terminal Boredom and Richie Charles, the Feeding Tube guys, Byron.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering how you hooked up with Byron and Ted.
Oh,
That
Ted,
might have been
yeah.
the first record I got from you guys. Might have been that Library Music one. And I kept thinking
Okay.
Dan's name was Library Music for a long time
That
because that's on the
would have been a
front, I
better
think.
band name, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and every time I'd bring it up and I'd play it on my radio show, and then I'd announce it wrong, and then I'd go back and I'm like, no, wait, the band's called Mordecai. Yeah, and Loki's from Buffalo, right? That label's from Buffalo. I don't know if I know that guy or not. Yeah, he put out so many great tapes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and my buddy John and I were like, who is that guy? Like he's putting out all these great things. And it was definitely a connection sort of between him and Richie, from a bands they were
Yeah,
working with and stuff like that.
for sure. Yeah, but yeah, I think that Elijah probably just cold sent him, either Steve or Elijah kind of cold sent Richie some demos.
Right. What is the name from, if you don't mind me asking? Is it a particular reference or no?
Yeah, it's not like, unfortunately, it was this one of these early drummers in our band, who we just asked one day when we were to come up with a band name. He was kind of like, here's my suggestion.
Just throw it out there. Yeah.
And a name is a name, it's whatever. It's not my favorite name. I've wanted to change it for years, but you kind of just get stuck maybe
You're
with
stuck
stuff.
with
I
it.
don't
Yeah,
know.
I've been there. I like it. I think it's a good name. There was actually a local guy who went by the name. He was like solo kind of aggro folk kind of thing, and he went by the name Mordecai, which I liked. I actually liked a lot, and we played a show with him once, as duo that I have. That's just improv, experimental noise kind of thing. And I did a lot of vocals on it. I just kept going. I just kept yelling Mordecai, Mordecai Vanunu, though, who's this great Israeli dissident.
Totally.
I don't know if you know who Mordecai Vanunu is, but yeah, so I was just like going at it, and afterwards he's like, dude, what were you saying? What were you talking about? So I had to tell him the story. And
Nice.
So what are
No,
your
yeah, I don't know.
huh?
I don't know who Mordecai Vanunu
Oh yeah,
is.
so he exposed, man, when was it, this 80s, I think, 70, late 70s or 80s. He worked for the Israeli government, and he exposed the fact that the Israeli government was working on a nuclear program. They kept refusing. They kept saying they were not. And there's this famous photo of him getting like abducted by Israeli forces, and he's looking out the back of a window, and he wrote on the window with like something. He wrote his name, Mordecai Vanunu, so people knew who was getting taken away. And at the time, yeah, it was right around that time we played that show, and he had been like finally released and then arrested again. This was during kind of Gulf War II, like early mid 2000s kind of thing. Yeah, and I was listening to a lot of interviews with him and stuff like that. So he was like disappeared for a long time. Then he came out and did interviews, and then he got arrested again. And
Cool, yeah, I'll have to look him up.
yeah. So yeah, what do you, I mean, your plan, I'm gonna guess your plans are, you get together when you get together. Do you have any recordings that are in the works or anything like that? Any releases, both solo or Mordecai related?
I have been working on some new stuff since I moved. I kind of set up a little space in my basement and have been able to kind of, almost record every other day or something when I'm in the mood. So I've been working on quite a lot of stuff. Some of it's good, and maybe we'll see the light of day in
Yeah,
the
you put
next
out a
year.
solo cassette, right? Was that on Loki?
That was on Pettibunko too.
It was on Pettibunko. Okay, yeah. Yeah, because I think I remember getting that. I think my buddy John got it, and I was like, wow, and I didn't realize you were Mordecai. And I got it, and then after the fact, I put it two and two together. Is that
Yeah,
the
I like
only?
that cuz I like that cassette a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, is that the only solo
Sounds
release you
good.
have out?
I have another one that was sort of a limited edition CD that I sold. It was maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
I don't know if you got that Flexi that came with that faux wood paneling zine. In
No.
the last 6 months, this guy, he puts out he runs the Richard Meltzer fan club, and he puts out a zine called Faux Wood Paneling, and he pressed a flexi of a song. It was under the name of Mordecai, but it was just a solo recording of a cover
Oh, I see.
of a song by Graham James. And the superlative life is free.
Oh, I
And that
gotta
was from
write
that
that down.
time. 10 years. It's like from that time 10 years ago that I put out a solo recording, solo CD.
Gotcha.
That song was open.
But that zine and Flexi just came out, you're saying?
It
Right.
just came out, yeah. I sort of revived that song. I thought it was good enough that or out of the three songs that I sent to him, it was the one that he picked. So
I'm going to refer to it again, but the Peter Jeffries book I'm reading talks a lot about. I don't know if you've read that book or not. It's really good. It's on Hozak.
No, I want to, yeah.
Really kind of just really in depth in it. And it, I haven't been in a band where I write songs, you know, like we've been doing like all the bands I'm in. We more or less improv bands for a while now. Right. It's been a while since like I worked on songs and like lyrics and stuff like that. And it kind of your comment about that song, that older song, and you're like, yeah, I think it's good enough to bring back kind of thing. It's a constant thing in Peter and Graham Jeffries' careers is like they'd have these songs, like maybe in early, you know, Nocturnal Emissions, and then it might come back and, you know, resurface in this kind of Punishment or later solo things or other collab things. It's kind of really neat. And then talking about, you know, well, we have this song, but we never could figure out that part of it. And then another person gets involved and it changes, or just time changes it, right? Like you approach the song a different way or you think about it a different way. I have a ton of old recordings that I have, like I unearthed on cassettes from college that I've been meaning to kind of go through to sort of almost do the same thing. Make like this archival of unknown band. You know, there were always just jam things and side projects, not the actual quote band I was in at the time, you know. Like parking lot jams, a lot of parking lots we did in
Yeah, I've got some recordings of some of these high school bands. If you play songs on the podcast, I'll send you one of them.
Well, yeah, I want to thank you for being on the podcast. It was a lot of fun meeting you and stuff like that, and getting to
Yeah,
know.
absolutely. Thanks for the offer. Yeah, it's really fun to chat. Great. Well, thanks so
Connect
much.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say hi to the other guys
Cool.
for me. Not that
Will
they're.
do.
All right. See ya.
Yeah, chat soon. Bye bye.
Yep. Bye. Yeah, welcome back. I want to thank Holt again for the great interview. It was great talking to him and learning more about him and his brother and Mordecai. So what you're hearing in the background here is from Mordecai's LP, Library Music. We talked about it a little bit in the interview. It's on Feeding Tube. This track is called Jumble. The two tracks that I played before the interview were, I started out with The Bind, and that's from Neil's Generator, an LP on Richie Records, predecessor to Petty Bunko. And then after that, I played Never Get Ahead from their most recent LP on Petty Bunko called Seeds from the Furthest Vine. Really great stuff. Hoping to catch those guys live again soon, whenever they can get back all together. So I'm going to play this track, and then I'm going to play a track from a Flexi, I think we mentioned in the interview, on the faux wood paneling. I think it came with a zine, but I just got a copy of it used, and it was just, you know, by itself. It wasn't with a zine. I have to track that down and figure that out. The track is called The Superlative Life is Free. And then I'm going to follow it up with a recording from Holt's high school days. I think the band is called Amerivacago Brother Boros. I can't. It almost looks like American Gold Boros, but Amerivacago Boros. Right on track with my mispronunciation of every word in the world. So we're going to play that. I might play one track after that, too, but now we'll see. I don't know. Maybe I'll just end with that. Thanks again for tuning in. I hope you're doing well. I have another interview coming up soon with Emmett Martin from Bud Tapes out in Portland, Oregon. We talked, I don't know, about a week or so ago. So I'm editing that. I'll get that up hopefully in another maybe week. And I've been planning a music-only episode as well. I just keep delaying it and delaying it and delaying it. Hopefully I can get to that soon, too, and play basically a bunch of music I've been listening to over the last couple months. Thanks again for tuning in. This is My Teeth Need Attention. You can go to myteethneedattention.com to get to past episodes. They're all up on Apple Podcasts. I have recently removed it all from Spotify because I fucking hate Spotify. So that's gone. So just so you know, I'm sorry if you've been listening to it on Spotify. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts. And if you don't like using that platform, you can listen to it directly on the myteethneedattention.com website. There's players up there, so you can just play it right there if you want. But yeah, just trying to get away from platforms I really hate. And you can also follow me on Instagram at My Teeth Need Attention on Instagram. Yeah, speaking of platforms I don't like. But yeah, that's a necessary evil right now for me. That's mainly how I connect with most people for this podcast and the label. Of course, if you don't know, I run Carbon Records, so you can follow me on Instagram at Carbon Joe Tunis on Instagram. And I have a bunch of new releases out, including a brand new 7-inch from Alexander, aka David Shapiro. So if you haven't heard that, I encourage you to go check that out. I also just recently put out a record from I co-released a record from a Belgian duo called De Vlaamse Primitieven, and also a reissue of an LP. It was CD only originally from 96 from Lauren Connors and Suzanne Langille. That just came out. That's a Crucible LP. So all three things of those are recently released and, of course, available. You can go to Bandcamp for that, carbon-records.bandcamp.com. All right, enough selling. Get back to music, and we'll see you next time around. All right, take care. This is My Teeth Need Attention.